IOM FM.
Tonight on Unleashed, hey, let's quit worrying about driving away Hispanic voters and try to offend all the Muslims instead. Ah, yes, presidential politics. It's Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015, just after 11 p.m. in the Eastern Time Zone, and Matt Connerton Unleashed starts right now.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Welcome to Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire, coming to you worldwide, and very happy to be here for another exciting Tuesday night. We have a lot to get to tonight. Flying solo tonight. Jen's got the night off, so you've just got me, but you can add your voice to the conversation if you'd like to. We do have a phone line open at 617-417-4IPM. IPM, of course, for IPM Nation, as we are live on IPM Nation 1. And, of course, every Tuesday and Thursday night, we are also on Ohm Times Radio at ohmtimes.com/IOM. And very happy and honored to be a part of that as well. I was we were talking about Ohm Times earlier, actually, with Dr. Kevin. I got to see... had a meeting with Dr. Kevin, the great Dr. Kevin from the Dr. Kevin Show, which you can hear right here Thursday nights at 6 p.m. And, of course, I do his show with him every second Thursday of every month for our thirst-quenching Thursdays. I get to be on the Dr. Kevin Show. But we were talking about Ohm Times earlier. And as far as I know, Matt Connerton Unleashed is still the only political program on Ohm Times. So, although, you know, Dr. Kevin, of course, does get into some socio-political stuff, too, but we tend to keep it mostly politics on this show, so we're kind of the black sheep of Ohm Times. I'm very proud of that. So there is, of course, other political programming on IPM Nation, quite a bit of it, actually. But on Ohm Times, it's as far as I know, it's still just us. So if I'm wrong about that, I'm sure someone will correct me. But very, very happy to be here, of course, every Tuesday and Thursday night on Ohm Times. And, of course, Unleashed is five nights a week on IPM Nation 1. At 11 p.m. Eastern. And we also have the television edition of Unleashed, which, see, this is all going to tie together. Dr. Kevin will be my guest on the television edition next week, next Wednesday, live at 2 p.m. Eastern over on IPM Nation. And, of course, we do get that show up and available on demand on both the YouTube and our Vimeo channels on IPM Nation. So you will be able to not only listen to Dr. Kevin and I together when we do the Thirst Quenching Thursdays on his program, the second Thursday of every month, but next week you can also see us together. So, no, but it was wonderful to see him. He's back from the UK. He spent the summer over in the UK with Olivia Stefanino, who used to have a show on DKRN, which was, you know, the Dr. Kevin Radio Network of old, which was eventually absorbed or acquired, however you want to put it, by Ohm Times Radio. And Olivia Stefanito, she used to host a show called Olivia Unzipped. And, of course, Dr. Kevin spent the summer over there with her teaching and, you know, doing some seminars and workshops and so forth. But he is back. He's back in the USA, back here in the Northeast where I am. For a little while at least. And we're going to be planning some really cool stuff together. So, you know, I mean, it's great to see him socially, of course, because we've been very good friends for, geez, I don't know, like almost a decade now. But we've also done a lot of really, really cool stuff together creatively. And we have some things that we will be announcing that we will be doing in the very near future. So, but more to come on that. Meanwhile, and just a little bit more housekeeping, guys, and then we'll get into some issues because, like I said, I have a lot I want to get to tonight. But meanwhile, just a couple other quick programming notes. Tomorrow, if you are listening to this live on Tuesday evening, tomorrow, Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, I will be a guest once again on the television program Ward 13 with John Hopwood. And you can watch that online at ipmnation.com/MPTS. MPTS, of course, stands for Manchester Public Television Service. But you can watch me on John's show tomorrow at 1, and this will be of interest, particularly, I suppose, to a lot of the Ohm Times listeners, because we will be discussing not politics, even though that is what John and I usually discuss, is politics. But this week, when I'm a guest on his show, we'll be discussing hypnosis and hypnotherapy, my other career, sort of my other career. It finds the two things, the hypnosis and the broadcasting, over the years, I have found intersect in many ways and in many instances. But tomorrow we will be discussing specifically for the hour, I believe, hypnosis and hypnotherapy and how that works and what I do and all that good stuff. So that'll be a really interesting show. I mean, unless, you know, you're only interested in hearing me talk about politics. But no, I am into other things. And, of course, for those who listen to the show all the time and just hear me becoming unleashed, believe it or not, I can also speak in a very soft, soothing tone. And I can bring you into a very deep state of relaxation where you will feel very deeply relaxed. So, but of course, we don't do that on this show. But I will be discussing that tomorrow. And then, of course, immediately after Ward 13 with John Hopwood at 2 p.m. Eastern, and you can watch it in the very same place on IPM Nation, is the television edition of Matt Connerton Unleashed, which we do every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Like I said, next week my guest will be Dr. Kevin on the TV edition. This week on the TV edition, I don't have a guest, unless John Hopwood wants to stick around. Otherwise, I'll spend the hour rambling about politics, much like I do on the radio edition. So, like I said, I don't have a guest tonight. I'm flying solo, Jen, and Jen's got the night off. But if you would like to join me, and I started to mention this earlier, and I got derailed, lost my train of thought. Well, it's not so much that I lost my train of thought. I just suddenly decided to lurch in a different direction with it. Sometimes I zig when you think I'm going to zag. So do your best to keep up, folks. But if you would like to join the conversation, you can call us at 617-417-4IPM. IPM, of course, stands for Independent, Provocative, Mobile. IPM as in IPM Nation, our phone line here at the studio. Even though we're at the Uptown Auto Repair Studio, IPM Nation is, of course, the company I founded and continue to run today. So, for IPM, 617-417-4IPM. You can call or you can text. Feeling a little bashful, don't want to call, you can text that number. We also, of course, have an active chat room at IPMNation.com. In fact, if you go to IPMNation.com/MCU radio, you can access the chat room. You can see the telephone number to call or text. You can see the links to our Twitter and Facebook for the show if you'd like to reach out that way. So I don't have to go through all that, what our Twitter handle is, how to reach us on Facebook and all that. It's all right there. All that information is right there in one place at ipmnation.com/MCU radio. So, and that chat room is always open, whether we're on the air or not, and the Twitter and the Facebook. But if you want to call into the show, please only do that while we're live. Otherwise, you will be sorely disappointed in the lack of response if you are listening to either a replay or one of the archives. Ohm Times, by the way, phenomenal job archiving all the shows, making them available with their radio on demand feature at ohmtimes.com/IOM. They've been doing a lot of cool stuff, adding a lot of cool stuff. Very, very happy about that. Speaking of which, other cool stuff, and I know we're already coming up to a break and I've already been rambling. So we have a spinoff of this show, which is now called the show's gone through a couple of different permutations, but we've repackaged the show, and I think it will be the final repackaging of the little spinoff show that we do called Angry Drunk Tales. And you can find that on YouTube, on the IPM Nation YouTube account, if you want to check that out. For those who aren't familiar with the show, spinoff and why it's a spinoff of this show. We get a lot of we get fan mail and we get hate mail. When you do a show like this, as hard as it is to believe, not everyone is always going to like you and be a fan. Some people are going to, well, hate us. And there's this one individual who sends us, I think we got 11 emails in one night from this one individual. So we decided to make a separate show out of it, which can be heard exclusively on IPM Nation, on IPM Nation 1 at midnight immediately following this program. Tonight is episode 37 of Angry Drunk Tales. Yes, we're actually up to episode 37. Where I present to you a dramatic reading of this particular individual's long, drunken rants against the Honorable Jen Coffey and myself. But you can also find, of course, we also just post the shows up on YouTube, so you can find them there, too. So, but that is not an Ohm Times show. That is exclusive to IPM Nation. That show would not be appropriate for Ohm Times Radio, where we strive for a little bit more of a high-level conversation than what you're going to find than on that other program where I read the drunken ramblings of a deranged lunatic. So anyway, more Unleashed coming up. We're already hitting that first break, but when we come back, well, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. It's going to be an interesting show. Join the conversation. I already told you how to do it. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Real Conscious Connection. Ohm Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Ohm Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.ohmtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Ohm Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Ohm Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Ohm Times endeavor. Host your show with Ohm Times Radio Network.
Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Free your mind with Ohm Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton, Unleashed. We are live on this glorious Tuesday evening from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire. Jen's got tonight off, so it's just me, but you can call us at 617-417-4IPM. That is 617-417-4 IPM. You can call or text at that line. We got the chat room and the Twitter and the Facebook. You can find all that information at IPMNation.com/MCU radio. And let's see. I want to get to, and I mentioned it in the intro, of course, all the all the stuff with Ben Carson and oh, you know what? I haven't played this lately. Speaking of Ben Carson,
I'm Ben Carson, and I approve this message.
I just love the way he says, "I'm Ben Carson." He just sounds so cheerful. Anyway, everyone else tries to sound very serious, and he's just like, "I'm Ben Carson." Anyway, so I don't know if I'll ever get tired of that. So, let's see. Let's do something else first. And this I wasn't going to talk about tonight, but I just feel kind of compelled. So we'll not spend too long on this, but this is from the New York Times. And this was posted yesterday. This is deeply, deeply troubling. U.S. soldiers told to ignore sexual abuse of boys by Afghan allies. And this article, written by Joseph Goldstein, again, this is from the New York Times, Dateline Kabul, Afghanistan. In his last phone call home, Lance Corporal Gregory Buckley Jr. told his father what was troubling him. From his bunk in southern Afghanistan, he could hear Afghan police officers sexually abusing boys they had brought into the base. At night, we can hear them screaming, but we're not allowed to do anything about it, the Marine's father, Gregory Buckley Sr., recalled his son telling him before he was shot to death at the base in 2012. He urged his son to tell his superiors, quote, "My son said his officers told him to look the other way because it's their culture," unquote. Rampant sexual abuse of children has long been a problem in Afghanistan, particularly among armed commanders who dominate much of the rural landscape and can bully the population. The practice is called Baka Batsi, literally translated as boy play, and American soldiers and Marines have been instructed not to intervene. In some cases, not even when their Afghan allies have abused boys on military bases, according to interviews and court records. The policy has endured as American forces have recruited and organized Afghan militias to help hold territory against the Taliban. But soldiers and Marines have been increasingly troubled that instead of weeding out pedophiles, the American military was arming them in some cases and placing them as the commanders of villages and doing little when they began abusing children. Quote, "The reason we were here is because we heard the terrible things the Taliban was doing to people, how they were taking away human rights," unquote, said Dan Quinn, a former Special Forces captain who beat up an American-backed militia commander for keeping a boy chained to his bed as a sex slave. Quote, "But we were putting people into power who would do things that were worse than the Taliban did. That was something village elders voiced to me," unquote. The policy of instructing soldiers to ignore child sex abuse by their Afghan allies is coming under new scrutiny, particularly as it emerges that service members like Captain Quinn have faced discipline, even career ruin, for disobeying it. After the beating, the Army relieved Captain Quinn of his command and pulled him in, pulled him from Afghanistan. He has since left the military. 4 years later, the Army is trying to forcibly retire Sergeant First Class Charles Martland, a Special Forces member who joined Captain Quinn in beating up the commander. Quote, "The Army contends that Martland and others should have looked the other way, a contention that I believe is nonsense," unquote, Representative Duncan Hunter, a California Republican who hopes to save Sergeant Martland's career, wrote last week to the Pentagon's Inspector General. In Sergeant Martland's case, the Army said it could not comment because of the Privacy Act. When asked about the American military policy, the spokesman for the American command in Afghanistan, Colonel Brian Tribus, wrote in an email, quote, "Generally, allegations of sexual abuse by Afghan military or police personnel would be a matter of domestic Afghan criminal law," unquote. He added that, quote, "there would be no express requirement that the U.S. military personnel in Afghanistan report it," unquote. An exception, he said, is when rape is being used as a weapon of war. The American policy of non-intervention is intended to maintain good relations with the Afghan police and militia units the United States has trained to fight the Taliban. It also reflects a reluctance to impose cultural values in a country where, and this is not a term I've ever spoken or seen, pederasty, which obviously, you know, pedophilia, pederasty is rife, or pederasty, I guess pederasty, particularly among powerful men, for whom being surrounded by young teenagers can be a mark of social status. Some soldiers believe that the policy made sense, even if it were personally distressed, even if they were personally distressed at the sexual predation they witnessed or heard about. A former Marine Lance Corporal reflected, quote, the bigger picture was fighting the Taliban. It wasn't to stop molestation, unquote. I don't even want to read the rest of this. There's more to it. It's actually kind of a long article, and I'm becoming nauseous. But if you want to read the whole thing, it's at you can find it at nytimes.com. U.S. soldiers told to ignore sexual abuse of boys by Afghan allies. Okay, let's put aside for a moment, to the extent that we can, how disgusting it is that this is going on. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, we don't have to focus too much on that in itself, because I assume, and I assume it's safe to assume, that we can all agree on that baseline. And if you're someone who doesn't understand why what is going on in terms of, you know, children being abused in any culture, if you don't get that, if I have to explain that part to you, please just shut off this show and go do something else. But I'm going to assume that my audience can understand, you know, why this is not okay to begin with. But here's the thing. So even if, let me ask you this, though. If, let's suppose, obviously we all agree that it's not okay to, well, molest children, to be frank about it. Even if you're someone, though, who says, okay, Matt, well, you got to see this from the military's point of view and why this policy exists. Obviously, it's not okay to molest children, to molest young boys, but we're trying to win hearts and minds here, so we have to kind of look the other way and respect their culture, for lack of a better phrase. Even if you believe that, which obviously is the position of the military, perhaps, I guess, the position of our government, you know, you have to respect the culture and not get in the way, especially when you're trying to work with these people. Even if you accept that premise, in the grander scheme of things, in the larger scope, doesn't part of trying to win the hearts and minds of people, and you know, not just in Afghanistan but around the world, of course, during the George W. Bush administration, we kind of took on an attitude that we really don't give a crap what the rest of the world thinks. And I know a lot of people like to think that way, and there's sort of the, you know, it's where you cross that thin line from patriotism into jingoism and all of this. Okay, but even if you accept that premise, aren't we supposed to at least try to pretend to be the good guys? Or if we just completely dispensed with that too? I mean, or if we reached a point where we just say, okay, it's all the military-industrial complex, we're not even going to try to pretend to be the good guys anymore. We're just people engaging in war. There is no good or bad. We're just people engaging in war, and we're a superpower and whatever. Because I got to tell you, I understand, of course, it's not as though the U.S. military, it's not as if our guys are themselves engaging in this, but I don't feel like if we're knowing that this is going on and we're looking the other way, I don't feel like we're the good guys. I feel like we're enablers. It's kind of like with the Catholic Church, right? So you got these guys, these priests, who are kid touchers, And then you've got everybody around them who looks the other way, or when one of these kid touchers is found out about or the accusations begin to fly, what do? Instead of going to the police and saying, hey, one of our priests is a kid toucher, you might want to arrest him and prosecute him. They say, nah, here's what we'll do. We'll transfer them to another parish to try to cover up and hide what they're doing, and they can go touch some other boys until they get caught there, and then we'll move them again. And I look at it as, you know, the people who enable them and who cover up for them and prevent anything bad from happening to them, they're also guilty. And I would apply that same standard to this. If these Afghani men are engaging in kid touching, and the policy of the United States military is, just let them do it, then we're not really behaving like the good guys. So, you know, and I support our troops and I support our military, which is why I don't support our horrendous foreign policy in most cases. But, hey, you guys are making it tough. It's tough to support you if the policy of the United States military itself is to, just sort of have this tacit approval of what the Afghanis are doing. You know what? We should have packed up and left when Karzai told us he wanted us gone anyway. Actually, we never should have gone in. But when we come back, we'll talk about Muslims and their relationship to the Republican frontrunners and vice versa. More Unleashed coming up. Don't go away. I wonder what they taught you back in Sunday school. I bet you're thinking him. Isn't that clean long in Republican?
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting to your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and help you realize the innate potential you have to heal every aspect of your life. So come heal yourself every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, with your host, Monica Goyal. Namaste.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Greetings, fellow soul travelers. This is Dr. Amelia Kemp with OM Times Radio. If you've been stressed mentally or emotionally, then join me on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy show, where you'll learn you're not sick, you're sacred. And by aligning with the soul is what makes you whole.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire. And we are live on IPM Nation 1 and OM Times Radio, as we are every Tuesday and Thursday night as well. Don't forget, of course, tomorrow afternoon, I mentioned at the top of the show, but if you're joining us late, I will be a guest on Ward 13 with John Hopwood at 1 p.m. Eastern. And you can watch that online at ipmnation.com/MPTS. We're going to be talking about hypnosis and hypnotherapy, my other career. And, of course, like I mentioned earlier, that might be particularly interesting to a lot of the OM Times audience who is interested in that kind of thing. And then immediately following that, of course, and you can watch it through the very same portal on IPM Nation, is the television edition of this program, where we'll get back to the politics. It was bound to happen. It comes up for a couple of reasons, of course. These candidates are confronted with the Muslim question. It came up in 2008, of course, because there's all these theories and ideas and conspiracy theories and so forth about Obama, that he's secretly a I joke about it. I make fun of it on the show, how, you know, some people think that Obama's a secretly Kenyan-born Muslim terrorist who his goal is to, before he leaves office, he's going to find a way to destroy America by, issuing an executive order declaring some new hybrid of communism and Sharia law. Not sure what you'd call it. Shariamism, I don't know. And of course I say that facetiously and sarcastically. I don't believe that's true. He says he's a Christian. I take him at his word, whatever. And we would see in 2008, actually, we might play the clip. John McCain, when confronted with questions about Obama and these theories of him actually being a Muslim, how McCain responded to that, and how it's very different than the way Republican candidates will respond today. This has come up now because, for one thing, Ben Carson the other day on Meet the Press said that, he would not be comfortable with a potentially Muslim president. By the way, it's really kind of a moot point in one sense, because we're not going to elect a Muslim president, not anytime soon. Anything's possible. I didn't know if we'd ever see an African-American president in my lifetime. And then it happened. I thought we'd have a woman president before we'd have a black guy. It turned out I was wrong about that. So I could be wrong about this, but I find it very unlikely. I think it's very unlikely that we would have either a Muslim president or an atheist president, or at least someone who's openly atheist. I mean, I think there's probably a lot more atheists in government than we realize. It's very difficult, at least, to say you're an atheist and be elected to much of anything, with rare exception. I know that there is at least one. There's probably more than one. There's probably a few open atheists serving right now in the U.S. Congress, but to have an atheist president seems very unlikely. And there, I know of at least one atheist governor historically, Jesse Ventura, of course, who was governor of Minnesota. He has always been very open about his atheism. But we're not going to elect a Muslim president. I think we might have a Jewish president. That strikes me as very, very possible. Joe Lieberman, of course, ran for president. Back when JFK became president, prior to him, I mean, it was unheard of, the idea. Well, not unheard of, obviously, but there was people who were very skeptical, let me put it that way, that we'd ever have a Catholic president. There was prejudice against Catholics in that way. And JFK became our first Catholic president. People were worried that JFK would be more, that his allegiance would be to the Pope, to the Vatican, to his Catholicism, rather than to the United States, and that he would put his faith before the office of president. And he answered that very directly and said that I will adhere to the Constitution. and that I answer to the United States. If I'm president, I answer to the United States first and to the Vatican second. So, but now, so we have this Muslim thing keeps coming up. It's remarkable in a way that we're really at the tail end of the Obama presidency. You know, he's in his lame duck period, and this is still a thing, this whole Obama's really a Muslim type thing. I would like to be more surprised than I am, but the cynic in me isn't that surprised. But it is remarkable on some level, if you think about it, that we're still dealing with this. So we have this thing where Ben Carson said, a couple things have happened. Ben Carson said on Meet the Press he would not be comfortable with a Muslim president. And Donald Trump dealt with kind of a similar thing that McCain dealt with back in 2008. And McCain handled it very well, by the way. But he annoyed some conservatives in his handling of it. Trump has been taking a lot of flack for not responding to when someone brought up to him at a campaign rally, a voter with the mic said, you know, Obama's a Muslim, this and that. And Trump has been taking some criticism for not doing what McCain did back in 2008. By the way, I remember in 2012 a similar thing happening at a campaign event. And Mitt Romney did not respond the way that McCain did and said, no, I don't believe, you know, Obama's a Muslim or a terrorist or anything. Romney didn't show the same courage that McCain did. But, you know, again, Romney, you know, he had a nomination win, I guess. Of course, when McCain had his instance of really having to defend Obama in that way, it was in the general election period. He had already clinched the nomination, but he did the right thing. Now here's my problem though is now on the one hand, and you know, Jen and I talk about this a lot on the show, Islamophobia, and you know how it gets a little ridiculous, and you know, these people who we were at a Trump event quite some time ago before Trump had actually announced, where someone asked a question about Sharia law. You know, if you're president, what are you going to do about Sharia law? And Trump, I mean, he handled it well in that he just said, well, look, you know, you have to respect our laws and I'm going to follow the Constitution, et cetera. Not really answering the question directly, because he was probably thinking, who's this wacko bird who thinks that we're going to have Sharia law tomorrow? But here's the thing, though. So I want to criticize these people who say they're uncomfortable with the idea of a Muslim president. But, and as much as I decry Islamophobia, there's a part of me that feels like a hypocrite if I say too much about it, only because I have said, and longtime listeners of this show know, that in the 4 years now that I've been doing this radio show, I have said many times, and I offend people when I say this, I know, it's how I feel, that I am uncomfortable with the idea of an evangelical Christian of, say, Mike Huckabee's ilk as president, because I don't believe an evangelical Christian should be allowed access to nuclear weapons. Because if you're an evangelical, unless I've misunderstood something, or if you're a Dominionist or whatever, part of your belief system, what's endemic of your belief system, is that you believe that Armageddon is ultimately a good thing, because that brings about the second coming of Christ, etc. And I can just imagine some lunatic, like, can you imagine Sarah Palin in the White House? If, God forbid, that had happened, if McCain Palin had won and then something happened to McCain. Sarah Palin is exactly the kind of idiot who I can imagine. Let's say we got into a nuclear standoff with the Soviets, or the former Soviets, the Russians, or China, as Trump likes to say. Imagine we get into a nuclear standoff with somebody, and Sarah Palin starts hearing, she thinks she's hearing the voice of God in her head going, Go ahead, Sarah. Launch those missiles. It's time. It's time for you to carry out my will and bring about the second coming. Seriously, I'm kind of kidding about it, but I'm really not. I can imagine that happening. So I feel hypocritical in a way criticizing these people because they're expressing, as much as I make fun of Islamophobia, they're expressing a concern about a political, about a particular religious point of view taking hold in the White House. And I feel like a hypocrite if I'm sitting here saying, well, I don't think an evangelical Christian should be president because I think that's dangerous. Is it right for me to then say these people are being ridiculous? And that's why I've been very hesitant to criticize them, especially Trump, who, look, I don't think it's his responsibility to apologize because people are saying he should apologize about what happened at that campaign rally. I don't think really he should be apologizing for what someone else said. Do we really want him to be responsible for something one of his supporters says when asking a question or making a comment at a campaign event? So, I don't know. We'll discuss this a little bit more in our final segment. More Unleashed coming up. We are live. Don't forget, you can call in. There's still time to call. 617-417-4IPM. And we will be right back.
I'm three-wheeling, keep the Chevy tipping. Big bitted Buddha bangin' his hips in Bermuda. Barry Bonds, Barracuda, Chattanooga. Back alley shooter, black belly Buddha. Cassie jumping out the plane like a black puma. Stone. Pump the pesh mode. Man, all I see is red snow. Left my man with a headstone on edge comb. He was going for the glory in the end zone. Just enough.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back as we cruise into our final segment tonight on Matt Connerton Unleashed. Don't forget, you can now hear Unleashed 5 nights a week on IPM Nation 1 at 11 p.m. Eastern. And of course, every Tuesday and Thursday night, we are also carried on the wonderful OM Times Radio at omtimes.com/IOM. And they've been doing a great job, by the way, as I mentioned at the top of the show, of archiving the shows. So radio on demand, if you want to be able to go back and, you know, if you don't get the opportunity to listen live, as not everyone does, or if you already heard the show live and you just want to be able to go back and relive all the glory that is this program, you can do that too. with their radio on demand feature at ohmtimes.com. And want to remind you too, very quickly, of course, I'll be on Ward 13 tomorrow with John Hopwood on IPM Nation. You can watch the show at 1 p.m. Eastern, followed by the television edition of Unleashed at 2 p.m. Eastern. Also, be sure to stick around if you're listening on IPM Nation. Tonight at midnight, exclusively on IPM Nation, we'll have episode 37 of Angry Drunk Tales, where we do dramatic readings of our favorite hater, my biggest non-fan, the gentleman who hates both Jen Coffey and myself so much that he sends us multiple, multi-paragraph, long, rambling, drunken emails telling us how much he hates us, and it's just so much fun. Also, don't forget Jen's show, Jen Coffey and Jen Wells, on IPM Nation on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation 2, their program Liberty Walk, which is now live every Thursday night. And so all kinds of good stuff happening. And next week on the television edition, the great Dr. Kevin, who also does a show here on Ohm Times, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. He will be my guest on the television edition of Unleashed on IPM Nation. Lots of, we do a lot of cross-pollination around here. We think it's good. I love Dr. Kevin. We've actually done a lot of work together over the years, and he's a great friend. And it was wonderful to see him today. I'm going to play for you, because I referenced it earlier. I'm going to play quickly. It's a little over a minute. One of the examples, one of the clips of John McCain dealing with someone asking about, oh, you know, Obama and Muslims and blah, 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 back in 2008. And just take a listen to this. And as you're listening to McCain, how he responded, you know, I've had a lot of criticism about John McCain, believe me. But this is one of his finer moments, in my opinion. And listen to this, and then as you hear this, think about this. Would any Republican in the modern era react in this situation the way John McCain did? Here, take a look.
And frankly, we're scared. We're scared of an Obama presidency.
First of all, I want to be president of the United States, and obviously I do not want Senator Obama to be. But I have to tell you, he is a decent person and a person that you do not have to be scared as president of the United States. Now, if I didn't think I wouldn't be one heck of a lot better president, I wouldn't be running, okay? And that's the point. That's the point.
I got to ask you a question. I do not believe in, I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's an Arab. He is not.
No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues, and that's what this campaign is all about. He's not. Thank you.
Yes. So there you have it. So that clip included a couple of those were both from the same rally. But back in 2008, you know, McCain responding to both people saying, look, he's not. Well, the woman, and it, by the way, the woman who asked him that question, very, very old and, you know, from another time, another era. But, you know, where bigotry was probably a bit more accepted. But look, you know, McCain kept it classy, and he said, look, you know, no, he's not. You know, she called him an Arab. She called Obama an Arab, and she was trying to say Muslim, but that's clearly what she was getting at. But, you know, McCain saying, no, he's a good man. He's a family man, et cetera. You don't have anything to be afraid of. We just disagree politically. But, I mean, it's hard to imagine. I mean, Romney was faced with similar encounters and kind of handled it the same way that Trump did. You know, Trump just chose to just kind of ignore it. Now, in fairness to Trump, though, because he's taken a lot of criticism for his handling of the question the other day, But I'm sorry, I'm getting a strange hissing in my headphones, but I'm not sure why. Sorry, guys, I don't mean to get distracted. I'm just wondering where that's coming from. Anyway, but we're almost at the end of the show, so he just kind of ignored it. But actually, though, when the guy, if you watch the clip here, why don't I just play it? Do I still have that up? Oh no, I don't have that in front of me. But the guy makes his comments, and Trump actually says, we got to start with this question. So he kind of makes fun of the guy, subtly. But keep in mind, too, though, Trump, in the case of Trump, he's really king of the birthers. He was several years ago, he was the one who kept pushing Obama. Show us your birth certificate. Prove that you were really born in Hawaii. Prove that you're really an American. So, and then, he publishes releases his certificate of live birth. And of course, all the conspiracy theorists and a lot of Republicans say, oh, well, that's obviously a fake. And it's like, okay, so you just can't win. And then Ben Carson. Now, Ben Carson, after saying what he said on Meet the Press, this is interesting. This just went up tonight at 7:30. This is on CNN.com. We're almost out of time, but let me just play this clip for you quickly. And I myself have not listened to this whole thing yet. So let's take a listen to this.
Shifting his position on whether a Muslim should serve as president.
If they embrace American values and they place our Constitution at the top level above their religious beliefs, I have no problem with them.
So it's a nationalist position?
Well, I said that. It's on the record on NBC. That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I meant.
But that isn't exactly what Carson told NBC on Sunday when asked if a president's faith should matter.
If it fits within the realm of America and consistent with the Constitution, no problem.
So do you believe that Islam is consistent with the Constitution?
No, I don't. I do not. I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that.
A contrast from the comments delivered 14 years ago by George W. Bush in the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks.
The face of terror is not the true faith of Islam. That's not what Islam is all about. Islam is peace.
Now, many Republican presidential contenders are weighing in, saying religion should not exclude anyone from serving as president.
I don't think that religion should be a criteria for being president.
I personally do not believe that your religious denomination should disqualify you from serving in office.
This is the two leading contenders for the Republican nomination, Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina, ramp up their criticism of each other.
I find it to be very robotic. And I think a bigger problem, frankly, is her horrible tenure at various companies that, frankly, were destroyed.
Fiorina joking about Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin on late-night television.
You've met Putin.
I have. Well, the two of them have a lot in common, actually, but we'll just leave it at that.
Trump also renewing his war against Fox on Twitter, writing, "Why don't you have some knowledgeable talking heads on your show for a change instead of the same old Trump haters? Boring."
Well,
and criticizing last week's debate, telling New York Magazine, "I wasn't treated fairly by CNN. A different stance from his comments immediately after the event.
They were very professional the way they handled it. CNN did a very good job.
Wow, even on CNN there, Trump kind of flip-flopping. He was very, very, very complimentary of CNN right after the debate. We were watching it live here at the studio. And then he's criticizing them. By the way, right before I came on the air, and I haven't had a chance to really look into this yet, but there was something about, speaking of Trump continuing his war with Fox, I guess he really kind of blew up at Bill O'Reilly on the air. Now, of course, that's what the headline read, but sometimes the media exaggerates things quite a bit. So, it says he blew up at Bill O'Reilly, but we'll see what exactly that means and what exactly this blowing up entails. But I look forward to checking that out. But, of course, you heard Ben Carson kind of, you know, Ben Carson really kind of contradicted himself when he said, well, I don't think it's a problem. I don't think someone's religion is a problem as long as they're as long as they uphold the Constitution. But then when Chuck Todd asks him, so is Islam compatible with that? He said, no. Kind of trying to have it both ways on Meet the Press, but then really kind of trying to walk that back. And Trump really doesn't have anything to walk back because Trump didn't bother to respond to the person who made those comments at the his campaign event. We've got some more audio, but we're actually out of time. But we'll probably continue this. I do have more to say, so we'll probably continue tomorrow on the television edition of Unleashed. Don't forget, every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation, you can not only listen, but watch Matt Connerton Unleashed. And if you don't get to watch it live, we'll have it up and ready on both our YouTube and our Vimeo channels no later than 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. And if you are listening live on IPM Nation, don't forget, coming right up after this, Angry Drunk Tales. Tonight is episode 37. And if you're listening on Ohm Times Radio, I will bid you good night. And I will talk to you on Thursday, all our Ohm Times listeners. And other than that, I'll be back on IPM Nation tomorrow for the television edition and tomorrow night's show, which is strictly on IPM Nation on Wednesdays. So that's it for now. Good night, everybody. Catch you later.
The sun is going down.
The real